Morning. This shiur was sponsored by Le'iloi Nishmas, Rabbi Yisroel Reuven ben Rav Meir Wolf, and the Torah that we learned today should be a schus for his neshama. We discussed last week a case where a shomer was given, someone gave a pair of earrings to a shomer. The set was worth $1,000, and unfortunately, one of the earrings got stolen. It was lost. It was bipshia. And the problem is that when you have, while the set may have been worth $1,000, when you only have one of the earrings, the value was only $100. So when it came time, the shomer acknowledged that he was negligent. He was responsible to pay. But the question is, how much does he pay? So we mentioned that there is a three-way machlokes. The owner said, listen, I gave you a set worth $1,000. You're negligent. You're giving me back an earring worth $100. You do a little quick math. The loss is $900, and that's what I want you to pay. The shomer responded, no. He said, it's true. I agree with you. The set is worth $1,000. But now that I have one earring, its value is $100. So what does that mean? That means the value of one earring is $100. When you have the two together, so somehow you create an extra $800 of value because it's a set, it's matched together. But he says that's a hezek shen nicker, that's a grumma. All I have to pay for is the actual value of one earring, and that's $100. So this is a three-way machlokes. What some place can say, so, and the Erech Shai says like this. The Erech Shai starts off by saying it's obvious that there's a $900 loss. But he says, the loss that we're talking about over here, $100 is the value of the earring today. The rest of the value, he says, is a hezek she'eino nikar. Now what that means is, that a normal case, the regular hilchos mazik, a normal case of mazik is, a person takes a brick, he smashes a window. The window is broken, so a new window costs $300. So now the window's broken, there's a damage of $300. That's how much you pay. However, there are some cases where you cause damage in a way where it's not nicker. There's no tangible difference in the item before or after the hezek. The Gemara's examples are if you take wine, you mix it with the ayin nesach, it all becomes aser. But there's no difference. The ayin nesach doesn't taste different, doesn't feel different, doesn't look different than regular wine. So this is a hezek shein or nicker. If you take truma can be eaten by a kohen only when it is tar. If you're matame it, so there's no physical, tangible difference between food which is tame or food which is tar. So even though there's a clear economic loss, it has no use, or its value certainly went down, that is the sugyo of hezek shein or nicker. And midoy raisa, we hold hezek shein or nicker lo yishmei hezek. A person is not responsible, he does not have to pay for hezek shein or nicker. Now again, we'll discuss later, there's a knas, if you do it on purpose, there's a knas. Chazal did not want people going ahead, running around, being mazik people in ways that are in a nicker. But at least conceptually, if there's no physical, tangible difference, you're not responsible for the hezek that you caused. Zok the Erech Shai. So in the case of the earrings, he says, the value of one earring that you have to pay for, because that's lost, that's nicker, the earring's lost. However, the decrease in value that the remaining earring suffers because it's not part of a set anymore. So if you look at the remaining earring, nothing changed. There's no physical difference. That decrease in value is einu nikar, and therefore the Erech Shai says you're going to be potter. Now what the Erech Shai says is, the way he calculates it, is he says you do not, paying $100 is not enough. He says you have to pay $500. Why? Because we look at damage at the time of the hezek. Now, at the time of the hezek, it was a set. Now, if you have a set of two that's worth 1,000, so obviously each one is worth 500. So at the moment of damage, at that point, since each one was worth 500, even though now after the damage, after the fact that there's only one in existence, its value goes down, but still the one that was lost, since when the shomer had it, it was part of a set that was worth 1,000, we value each one at 500, and therefore, if for losing it, you're responsible to pay 500, but the remaining $400 of loss, Erech Shai says, you are not responsible for. The Divrei Goyinim takes issue with this psak. And he takes issue with it on two levels. The first point that he makes is that although in Hilchos Mazik, there's a concept of Hezek Shein Neker, although if you go ahead and you would just walk over to someone's truma and be metame it, you'd cause damage to someone in a way where it's Einar Nikar, you'd be potter. Zog the Divrei Goyinim, that's by a regular case of a mazik. A shoymer, someone who accepted responsibility to guard an item, there the halacha is different. And this is a machlokes in Simon Shin Samach Gimel, the Yamshar Shloimoi, or it's the way many learn the Yamshar Shloimoi holds, that the whole idea of Hezek Shein Neker, the whole idea that you can say if there's no tangible difference, you're going to be potter, that's only by a regular mazik. When you accept responsibility, when you're a shomer, there the halacha is different, and there, even this type of loss, you're going to be responsible for. Therefore, Zok the Divrei Goyinim, according to the Shita, since you are a shomer on the entire set, even though the one that was lost, the value was only 500, since the remaining one went down in value, even though that is a Hezek Shein Neker, still the Divrei Goyinim says you're going to be responsible for that Hezek Shein Neker because you are a shomer. Now this is a machlokes. The Yamshar Shloimoi Paskin says this chiddush that a shomer is responsible even for a hezek shein neker. The Shach in Shin Samach Gimel argues. Shach says it's not mistaver that a shomer is worse than a gazlan. He has raya's from the Gemara, and therefore the Shach says that no. The Shach says that even by a shomer you can return the item. You can say areish lecholofanecha. If there's no tangible difference to the item, the halacha is you are not responsible to pay. Along comes the Nesivus, and he says he has an interesting pshar. Megar Adin, he holds like the Yamshar Shloimoi that a shomer is responsible for Hezek Shein Neker. However, he says it depends. He says that in every case of Hezek Shein Neker, we mentioned before, the Megar Adin, you're going to be potter. However, if a person does it b'mezit, a person willfully causes a damage in a way that's a hezek shein neker. Chazal were mechayiv you, it's a knas, because we don't want a person going ahead, we don't want people going ahead and causing damage to other people. Zok the Shach. Although it's true that hezek shein neker by a shomer in theory is going to be chayiv, however, Zok the Shach, it can't be worse than a regular mazik. And therefore, we're going to have to look at whether it's a shoygig or mezid. And therefore, Zok the Shach, if you would go ahead and be mazik piyadayim and you do it b'mezid, you're going to be chayiv. However, in a case of a shomer, even if a person is negligent, still, it's not the same as being a mazik piyadayim. It's not the same as being a mezid. Negligence is not the same. Although you weren't careful, you didn't fulfill your obligations, but that's different than going ahead and actively and purposefully causing a loss. And therefore, the Nesiva says, even when there's negligence, you're not going to be paid because it would have a din of a shogeg. Now, this shaila comes up also in a more common case. If you give someone an item to sell on consignment, he's your shliach. Or there's another discussion, if you have two partners, they have merchandise, and one of the price goes up. So one of the partners says, okay, the price went up, this is a good time to sell, let's sell the merchandise. So in Hilchos Shutfim, there's a discussion when you have the right to demand to sell it. But typically in a case where the price went up, this is the normal time to sell it, either partner can say, let's sell out, let's take our profits, and let's move on. What happens if one of the partners, or if an agent says, no, I'm not selling the item. He refuses to sell it. Because he refuses to sell it, eventually the price goes down. Is he responsible for the loss? So on one hand, what kind of loss are we talking about? At the time when the owner said, or the partner said, I want to sell it, it was worth $100. A few weeks later, it's worth $50. But is there any tangible difference in the item? Is there any hezek neker? No. The only thing that happened is that its value went down. It's a hezek shein neker. Therefore, it'll really depend on this on our discussion now. A partner is a shomer. If you give something, if someone is selling something on consignment, he's a shomer, generally a shomer zacher. So if he refuses to sell, if you hold like the Yamsha Shloime, even by a shomer is responsible for hezek shein neker, and he should have to pay for the decrease in value. By shenken, if you hold like the shach holds that a shomer is potter on hezek shein neker, he can say hareshach shachalufanecha. So in that case, l'chari would be potter. According to this Nesivos, we have to add another knech, and that is it depends why the person refused to sell it. If he did it maliciously, he knew the price would drop. So if he knew the price would drop, if he did it b'mezid, so there the Shaar Mishpat speaks out, and it's coming from Rudvaz. In that case, you'd be chayv, because that's the equivalent of Hezek Shein Neker where you do it b'mezid, Chazal said you're going to have to pay. So in such a case, you're holding on to someone's merchandise. You know if you don't sell, it'll decrease in value, but you refuse to sell anyway just because you're angry at the fellow. There the Shaar Mishpat says you're going to be responsible to pay, even though there's no tangible difference. Ma'ashe'enkein, zok the Shaar Mishpat. If you did it because you thought the price would go up more, so even though what you did was wrong, your partner wanted to sell, and the case was he had the right to force you to sell. Or you're a shliach, you're an agent. You have no right to make these decisions. But if you're mechaven l'toiva, if you're doing it because you thought the value would go up, even though at the end you were wrong, but since it's hezek shein neker, it was not done b'mezid, there the Shaar Mishpat says you're going to be potter. There's no intent to cause damage, there's no tangible difference, so even though you're negligent, even though what you did was clearly wrong, but a bezdin cannot force him to pay.
You don't want to sell because you think it's going to go up. The partner insists on selling, right? Mm-hmm. And then it does go up. Is he now liable to you for the loss of that increase?
No, so there are two differences about that case. The first is that in halacha, there is a very big distinction between losing money, where right now it's worth 100. If I want to sell and you don't and it drops in value, there's a loss of principle because we had an item worth 100, now it's worth 50. In your case, it's menias harevach. We could have made more money, but at the time that it was sold, it was for the fair price. But the second distinction is, and this is really the crucial point, is who has the right to make these decisions? If in general, again, as a general rule, there are many pratim, but in general in Hilchos Shutfus, if you have two partners, in the absence of any clear minhag or clear negotiated deal, at any point, if a partner says, okay, listen, we made enough money, I want out, in general, a partner has the right to do that. So if he has the right to do that, and the other partner may have these dreams and ambitions, and let's stay in longer, we'll make more money, he doesn't necessarily have the right to do that. And if he doesn't have the right to continue the partnership, you can't hold the other one liable for ending the partnership. But again, it's a very broad statement. Hilchos Shutfim is a whole sugya, but that's the general rule is unless there's a minhag or unless there's a discussion beforehand, any partner can pull out. That's true. But if there's a market, the market price is 100, and I say sell. So this is not just minias harevach. At this point, I had an item worth 100. I could sell it for 100. And by your refusal to do so, I now end up with an item that's only worth 50. So it's a hezek shein neker. There's no physical difference, but I would have had you follow the instructions. I would have had 100 at that point. Now it dropped down, and that's where you have this discussion. Now the Shaar Mishpat also adds that he says l'kulei alma, if the shomer specifically part of his responsibility was to guard against a hezek shein neker, or if it's understood that that's part of his responsibility. Then he says, well, everyone would agree that a shomer would be responsible to pay. Now, this is the first point of the Divrei Goyim that he says that even though it's hezek shein neker, because you're a shomer, many shittos hold that you're going to be responsible even on a hezek shein neker. The second point that the Divrei Goyim makes is that what happened over here? You accepted to watch a set of earrings, and you only returned one of them. Is that called hezek shein neker? You took a set, you're returning one of them. So the Divrei Goyim says you can't look at each individual one separately and say that on the remaining one, the fact that it went down in value, that's Hezek Shen Neker. We look at it as one item. It was one set. If you take a set that's worth $1,000, you say, I'm going to watch it. You only return one. There's a very tangible difference in the set. So if this difference in the set results in a $900 loss, Zuck, the Devei Goyim, that is all considered Hezek Nicker, and you'd be responsible to pay for the entire Hefzid. Devei Goyim brings down quite a number of shittas, and it seems that Iker in Halacha is like this Devei Goyim, that you can be mechayiv to pay the entire amount. Where it's not clear is what happens if the fellow only gave you one of the two earrings to watch, and you lost it. So in this case, if the pshat is, if the reason why you have to pay is that even though the loss to the remaining earring is hezek shein or nicker, but if the reason why you have to pay is that a shomer has a greater level of responsibility, a shomer is responsible even for hezek shein or nicker, that's only on the item that he is a shomer on. So if you're a shomer on the set and one gets lost, so whether it's nicker or not, you have to bear the entire loss. However, if you're a shomer on one and that one gets lost, you're not responsible for Hezek Shein Nicker on the other one that you were never entrusted with. So according to this, it would come out that at least for the Svar of Hezek Shein Nicker, you would be putter on the loss, the remaining one, you'd only have to pay the 500.
Even according to the last opinion?
No. So if you look at it as what, if you take this Svar all the way and you say it's one set, and therefore you have to look at it as one thing, then Anachnami, then you'd be responsible for the full 900 regardless. What? What is that? Well, it actually would depend what happened, because when the first one lost it, so if we hold that he's responsible to pay only, however much he's responsible to pay, whether it's 100, 500, or 900, the remaining one is only worth 100. So when the second shomer loses it, he clearly doesn't have to pay more than 100. Because it was not worth more than that at the time of the loss. Now, if it happened at the same time, okay, then we'd have to figure it out.
Who's saying, but if you only got one earring, makes a case that he took responsibility on the set. Even if I'm throwing it at the going to the last mm-hmm. opinion, if he damaged the set, but he didn't damage responsibility, he only was given one earring.
Okay, that's a valid point. We did have a discussion, if you take responsibility thinking it's worth 100 or thinking it's silver and it turns out to be gold, so there you're not responsible for the full value. But that's all in a case where the fellow gave it to you represented that it was silver, or according to some shittas, if you expected it to be silver, it was a reasonable assumption. On the other hand, if you know there is a set, and you know by losing this it will cause a $900 damage, then you're probably responsible for whatever the chiyuvei hezek are. The Devei Goyim says you can't. The Devei Goyim says that in this case you cannot say Kimli, you're going to have to pay the full amount. Now Erech Shai says that you could, so we can have a machlokes. What happens if the machlokes? Whether you can say Kimli? Can you say Kimli like the Shita holds? You could say Kimli, but the general consensus seems to be is that certainly when you're a shomer on both ends that you'd be chayav of the full amount. Now another case where this comes up, it's an Orach Chaim. Is what happens if a person is a shomer, he's watching chametz, comes Pesach, and how do you deal with it? What is a shomer's responsibility when Pesach is coming up? So over here we have a few interesting halachas. The first halacha is that if you have, let's take a case, your neighbor goes away, so before she leaves, she gives you all the delicious homemade cakes that she made, you put it in your freezer, and you realize, she leaves around Purim time, and she realizes, I guess, they're having a good time in Eretz Yisrael. They're not coming back so fast. So over here, the halacha is that even though Pesach is coming, the halacha is you are not supposed to sell the chametz right away. Now, the case is that if you sell the chametz on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you'll get the full value. You open up, you sell the chametz, nice, some danishes, some cakes, you'll get the full value. If you wait until Erev Pesach, so in a typical case where they sold the chametz to the guy, you can imagine Erev Pesach, the chametz market, the demand probably drops. There are no Jews buying chametz. And the supply drastically increases. All of the Jews are trying to unload their chametz before Pesach. So the value will certainly go down. Zok the Gemara, afal pikein, you should not sell the chametz. Why? Because there's a rule of reitz adam bekav shaloi. People have an emotional attachment to their own possessions, to their own items. And therefore, even though there'll be a loss, even though it'll go down in value, since you never know, the owner may show up just before Pesach. If they do show up, they're going to want their cake. They're going to want their items back. And therefore, the halacha is, Roitz Adam Kav Shaloi, you don't sell the chametz, even though by waiting that you will cause a loss. Even though by waiting the value will certainly drop, still, we assume the owner wants his item, and therefore you don't sell it. What? Oh, wait, so this case is it's before, it's the day before. The halacha is you have to wait until Erev Pesach, by Chomesh Shois, the last possible time. When you hit the point where if you don't sell it now, it's all going to be Asur B'Hanah, you're going to have to burn it. So there, at this point, it's going to be completely lost. There's no Roitz Adam Kav Shaloi. He's not going to get it. But the day before, the week before, even though it's prudent from a financial point of view to sell it earlier and get a higher price, still, since people want their thing, until you give up, until it's clear the owner will not come, or until you get to a point of no return, where if you don't sell it now, it will be lost, the halacha is you have to hold on to it, because Roitz Adam Kav Shaloi. Yeah, there is a discussion among the Paiskim. The case that I gave was you have your homemade cake. What happens if they went to the store, they bought some bakery items, they had it, and they asked you to watch it? So here the Minchas Pitim is medayik from a number of Paiskim, that this svar doesn't apply. Roitz Adam Kav Shaloi is you baked something. Or in the Gemara's case, there are fruits that grew in your field. So when you have a garden and you grow fruits, its value to you is more than the $1.59 that you pay in the shuk. So there we say hold on to it, even though the value is going to go down. The owner wants his own. However, a mass produced item where there's no special attachment to it, it was bought anyway. So there are shittas that say this svar will not apply, and you can as soon as you get to the point where the value will drop, you should sell it in order to minimize the loss to the owner. No, so we're talking about an actual sale. Now, the place do speak out that if you have the ability to sell it to a guy where you'll get it back, you certainly should do that because the owner is not losing anything. Now, what happens if the owner, your neighbor went for Pesach, left you a bunch of cakes? So, halacha is you're supposed to wait until Erev Pesach, Chomesh Shois, and at that point you have an obligation to sell it. What happens if you don't sell it? You forgot. You didn't get around to it. You didn't sell the chametz. You realize too late. So what do? Make a big bonfire and you burn the chametz. Are you responsible for that damage? So this is a tremendous machlokes. And what it really boils down to is, why do you have an obligation to sell your neighbor's chametz when you're a shomer? So the lashon of Rambam is, you have to sell mipnei shehu kimei shev aveda. We know there's a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. You have an item, a friend loses an item. If you're able to return it, you have an obligation to do so. So the Rambam learns, the same way it means if there's a lost item on the street, you have to pick it up and find its rightful owner. If you're watching chametz for someone, and it's getting to a point where if you don't sell it, you'll have to burn it, you'll have to destroy it, there's a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda, and you have to sell it in order to protect him from suffering a loss. Imkain. If it's only a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda, what's the halacha if you're walking down the street and you see a wallet on the floor? Hashavas Aveda says, pick up the wallet, find who the owner is, return. What if you don't? You keep on walking. So perhaps Hashiv Teshivim, depending on the case. Certainly what you did was wrong. Can the owner of the wallet send you a bill? I saw you walking by the wallet. You didn't pick it up. I never got it. A goy found it. I want you to pay. About that, not. Shavas Aveda is a mitzvah. It's a chiyuv that you have, but there's no chiyuv moment. You're not responsible financially if you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Therefore, many places can say, the same is true over here. A shomer's job is to guard something. You have to make sure nobody steals it. You have to make sure it doesn't get lost, it doesn't get burnt. But the idea of selling something, that's not shmirah. That's not guarding it. That's getting rid of it. So it's true. The shomer that has it in his possession has a mitzvah of hashavas aveda to go sell it. But it's not a chi of shmirah. It's a mitzvah of hashavas aveda. So since it has nothing to do with the obligations of a shomer, it's not a way to protect the item. It's just a way to be meshav aveda to protect another yid from suffering a loss. Therefore, many places can say that there's no chi of tashlumen. This is not something that you have to pay for. Now others argue. Chasam Sofer argues. Chasam Sofer says that no. He says when the Rambam writes that the Altmeishav Aveda, what he means is like this: really, a shomer is responsible to safeguard the item. He has to do whatever needs to be done to protect it. If what you need to do to protect it is to sell it, that should be your responsibility. But normally, what's the problem? The problem is you can't sell the item because roitz adam akav shalai. The owner is attached to his possessions. He doesn't want you to sell it. So the Rambam, when he writes Kamesh Aveda, all he's trying to say is that because if you don't sell it now, it will all be lost. It's like you're being Meshiv and Aveda Labailam. It's over, it's gone, it's lost. And therefore, the din of Reitz Adam Kavshalai doesn't apply and you are allowed to sell it. Once you're allowed to sell it, then as a Shomer, you have an obligation to sell it. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer and others paskin that if a person doesn't sell the chametz, he'll actually have a financial liability. He'll have to pay the owner for the loss. Now, most places can argue lahalacha, you're not going to be able to be mechayev the shomer because he certainly has a kimli. And adarabah, rav places can seem to say it's a mitzvah shavas aveda. It is not included in the actual obligations of a shomer. Now, even according to the Chasam Sofer, in a case where the person neglected to sell the chametz, and not only did he not sell the chametz, he didn't burn it either. It was still sitting there. So then, even according to the shittas that say that you're chayiv, you still may be able to just return the chametz and say, I reish l'chal l'fanecha. Because this is another case of hezek shen nikar. There's no tangible difference to the chametz. Although it's asur b'hana, although the owner has absolutely no use for it, there's no physical change. And therefore, it would go into the machlokes we mentioned previously, that if you hold, you can say, Harei Shalcha Lefanecha, you'd be able to do that by chametz as well. Now again, it's not halacha l'maaseh, it's really not so negeya, because halacha l'maaseh, either way, most places can say there's no chiyuv for not selling, because it's a din of hashavas aveda. Now moving on to another shayla, maaseh shehayah kachayah. There was a group of Bachrim were going on a trip, and they got to where they were going. They were concerned that their money would, there was on a hike, they were going to get wet. They were concerned that their money would get lost or would get ruined in the water. So they gave some two Bachrim, went over to their counselor, the Madrich, and asked them to hold money for them. Now the counselor himself had $50 in his pocket. One Bachr gave him an additional $30, and a second bacher gave him $20 to watch. Sure enough, they go on the trip, and when it comes back, they come on the bus, the bacher asks the counselor for the money back. He checks his pockets, checks his wallet, and he sees of the $100 that he had, he only has $50 remaining. He lost $50. Now, let's assume there was no negligence. It's Gneva Vaveda, he's Potter. But the question over here is, he had $100, 50 of his, 30 of one, 20 of the other. Now he has 50. Whose 50 does he have? How do you divide this loss? Big problem, okay? It's true. If you have a $50 bill, then you'll be able to figure it out. But then we wouldn't have what to talk about. Let's just assume, keep it simple. Everything was in singles or in tens, exactly. So over here, the Ramah brings down Trumas Hadeshen that makes a few fascinating chalukah. He says like this: if you're dealing with money, or it's perhaps easier to understand, everyone has a bunch of quarters. It all gets mixed together. Zog Ramah, in that case, once you mix the money together, you we look at this big pot as basically a partnership. When the owner, let's say nothing got lost. Let's say that when he comes back, they're $100. They're still there. Does one bacher say, listen, I gave you $30. I want those bills back. No. Money is money. Nobody cares. As long as you give me $30, it doesn't make a difference whether you give me your bills or his bills or my friends. I don't care. I gave you $30. I want $30. Zakrama, in such a case, where when you're putting it in a pot, there's nothing special about any specific dollar. So in that case, we look at it as one partnership of $100. And if there's a loss, it gets prorated. So if half the money is gone, each person will suffer that loss equally. The fellow who gave 30 will get 15. The fellow who gave 20 will get 10. Everyone will suffer half the loss. The Machane Ephraim says a little bit differently. He says it's just more of a, not so much a question of kepeda, but he says anything that gets mixed up, if you have quarters or something small that gets mixed together, he says it doesn't make sense to say that mine fell out or your fell out. We assume it's all equal. It's mixed together, and that's how you would divide the loss. However, Zok the Rama, it's actually a Truma Sedeshin, that's only when you're dealing with money. The bills are identical. People don't care which dollar bill they get back. And there this halacha applies. We assume it's all mixed and everything's prorated. However, what happens if you're dealing with items? You're dealing with diamonds, you're dealing with bars of gold, something which each person owns their own specific thing. So if you can figure out afterwards, each person recognizes theirs, so obviously there's no question. But even in a case where you don't recognize it, there the Truma Sedeshin says a tremendous chiddush. He says the counselor can say, I'm the muchzik. I'm holding on to the money. Now we don't know. We know $50 got lost. Maybe it was mine. Maybe it was yours. Maybe it was a combination. The rule is, ha-maytzi mechadeo al-varaya. If I'm the muchzik, I can say that every single one that got lost, 30 belong to you, 20 belong to you, I'm keeping the remaining 50. And because the halacha is a mitzvah mechidah of a raya, the other Truma Sedeshin says in such a case, the muchzik will win. So if you're dealing with dollar bills or something that's small and gets mixed up, again, depending on the shittos, we assume everything's proportional. But if something which is it's distinct, it's unique, just in this case, we can't track it, there the muchzik can always say, the one that remaining are mine, and a mitzvah mechidah of a raya. What happens if he loses only 25. He had 100, now he has 75. So 50 he puts in his pocket, he says, I'm the muchzik, I'm going to keep the 50. Now he has 25 left. How do you deal with that? Now over here, is there a muchzik on the other 25? No, because there were two bachrim. One gave him 30, one gave him 25. So neither of them is a muchzik over the other. Zok the Ramo, a tremendous chiddush. We all know there's a rule, of kol deparish miruba parish. If you have a mixture and you have nine pieces of meat that are kosher, one that are treif, and one of them you find a piece in the middle of the street, you assume it came from the majority. Zok the Ramah, Zok the Truma Sedeshin, because kol deparish miruba parish, we assume the ones that got lost, the ones that got stolen, came from the roif. And therefore, it comes out from Fakir, the one that had more loses more. Because we assume kol deparish miruba parish, the ones that got lost came from the majority, came from the one who had more, not from the one that had less. Okay, wait a second. Okay, wait. Good. We'll get there. Now, the Nesivos points out that this can't be taken literally. Because think about what would happen. I have 30, you have 20. 25 are gone. So if you say kol deparish miruba parish, the one that gave 30 will end up with 5. The one that gave 20 will end up with 20. That doesn't make. How can that be? Zechli Nesiva said, no. We have to break this down. Well, the way we look at it is, one had 30, the other gave 20. It means the first 10 that got lost, we say, kol deparish miruba parish, it came from the 30. It means the first 10 goes to the 30. We say came from the 30. But then, what are we left with? Each of them has 20 left. Now, who's the roiv and who's the mir? There is none. They're equal. So therefore, the first 10 that get lost, we assume came from the roiv. But after that, we assume it goes 50-50. So in this case, if you lost 25, 10 we say that was from the roiv. The remaining 15 would be divided in half, and everyone would end up with 12 and a half. That is what would happen. Okay, no. So they one of the chedushim of the Trumas Hadeshen is that once Hamotzi Mechvei Ovaraya, he says Hamotzi Mechvei Ovaraya wins out even against the roiv because he's a what? Yes, you're not Motzi Mamon with roiv. That's the Einochem Mamon Achar Roiv. When you're a Muchzik, when you're a Marikama, and that's a discussion over here. But when there is a Marikama, you're not Motzi Mamon with a roiv. Now there's a chiddush here that you can use the concept of roiv even though the Muchzik is really the roiv. But since we take the Mochzik out of the picture, we can now say that between the two remaining, there's a Roiv and a Mir, and we say called the Parish Merubah Parish. So the way the Nesivus explains the Ramah, what happens is we assume basically the first loss comes from the Roiv. Once they're knocked down, once they're equal, at that point we say the losses are split 50-50. Now the Nesivus says that although the Ramah brings down this psak, he doesn't bring down any chokim, but the Nesiva says this is not so pasha, and brings down a Muki Yosef that makes the following points, and I think that's really what you were driving at. He says, normally, what's the halach of kol deparish and meruvah parish? You have a piece of meat. You don't know whether it came from a kosher, from a place which is kosher, or if it's treif. So kol deparish and meruvah parish says that if you want to know where this piece came from, it probably came from the roiv, and it'll be kosher, it'll be treif, whatever the situation was. But the discussion is always, you found the piece, you want to know where it came from, you assume it came from a roiv. Our discussion is the exact opposite. No one found anything. No, that wasn't found, that he always had. What happened is, something was parish, and we want to know what's remaining. What? That's true. But if we would find it and we would have to don, what is this? There the halacha of kol deparish merubah parish. However, what's remaining, for example, again, it's a little bit technical, but if you have a mixture of, let's say, if you have two kosher and one treif, right? So midarais, you go about a roiv, it should all be mutter. If one of them falls, is parish, what are you left with? Are you left with it? Is it now asr midaraisa because we say kol deparish merubah parish, and therefore what's left, one is definitely kosher and one is definitely treif? No, there's no such halacha. Kol deparish is, if you have a piece that's separated, we want to don on that piece, we say kol deparish. But to go back to the mixture, the Nesiva says, there's no makar, the Muki Yosef says, that we don't do. There's no halacha of kol deparish merubah parish. And therefore, what the Muki Yosef says is you have to look at it differently. The way you look at it is like this. One person gave 30, the other person gave 20. What do we have left? 25. Zog the Nesivos, 5 of them definitely belong to the person who gave the 30. Because if you gave 20 and they're 25, obviously 5 don't belong to you. So those 5, there's no suffix about. Those 5 we give to the person who had 30, it's his, it's not part of the discussion. We now have another 20 left. He says the remaining 20 is going to be a suffix. There, he says, there's no concept of kol deparish merubah parish, so therefore, though they're going to have to split those equally, and he says each of them will get 10 of the remaining 20, and therefore, what will happen is the person who had 20 will end up with 10, person who had 30 will end up with 15. So the issue here is whether you can apply the rule of kol deparish to what's remaining, or is that only a rule in when you're looking at what actually was separated. Now, one other chiluk I just want to briefly mention is that this is all the case was where he lost the item. If a ganav comes and steals the item, there it may be different, and it's a discussion whether it's a Jewish ganav or a goyish ganav. There, when someone steals it, when he comes to the mixture, there's the concept of kol kavua kemechta mechta dami. If a ganav comes and steals it, if he knows that there's some kosher, some treif, or 30, 20, but if he comes to the makam akfiyos, there it's kemechtza al mechtza dami, and therefore in that case, it could be everyone would agree that losses would be split equally, and you would not look at the roiv.
So do we say that if it's completely non-recognizable, it's 50, it's all split, because is that settled or no?
No, so it's like that. When it, so that case, everyone agrees. The question is really why. The way the Sma describes it is when you deal with money.
My question though is, if he's putter, if he's a shomer hino, he should be putter if he's not negligent. So why is it automatically his 50? They gave it to him. They're all about to go swimming. They gave it to him because they thought he'd be responsible. He wasn't really negligent.
Because it's not a question of negligence. It's not a question of negligence. Let's say he has 50, 30, and 20.
Right.
Let's say his 50 got lost. Simply because he wasn't negligent doesn't mean he can take his friend's 30 and 20 to cover his loss. If his got lost, then he's the one that he's out the money. So we have to don whose money is remaining and whose got lost, independent of the negligence. Now also another important point, this is all when he had the right to mix the money together. If he didn't have the right to mix the money together, then the halacha is different. Then the Machan Ephraim points out that the owners can say, we gave you something to watch. Now, you mixed it in, and because you mixed it in, we have this stuff that we don't know what's left. So every shomer has to make a shvuah. If he wants to claim that the item got lost, make a shvuah. Since you're not capable of making a shvuah, Machan Ephraim says he's going to be chayiv. It's only when he had the right to mix it, it was expected that he would mix it, so there was no negligence involved, and therefore there, if in halacha we go by the roi, we go by the mufsik, then the owner would prevail. It's negligence because you're exposing yourself to the risk that if some of it gets lost, you now can figure out who the actual owner is. Okay, we're going to stop a little bit earlier today, and Mirza Shem will continue again next week.